WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. 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 WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
KD8CCX listening.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
KD8CCX.
What's going on, Adam?
Not a whole lot. Just got this thing. I had some trouble getting it connected to All-Star. I don't know why, but it was giving me fits. And so I tried a beta firmware on it. That didn't work. And because I was connected, but I was disconnected. It wouldn't let me connect. And so I tried a beta firmware, and that didn't work at all. My audio was all screwed up, so I factory reset it, tried reconnecting again, and it connected right up. So I don't know what the issue was, but back on the air now, so can't complain.
Sometimes I hate getting into those techie things when you just, you know, it's a mystery when they start running. It's like, what did I do?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why I went with this thing is because Shark RF is really, really good about not having stuff screw up. So it's probably something I did, and factory resetting it got rid of whatever setting I put in here, because I've been playing with it a lot. I'd be lying if I said, oh, hey, I got it the way I want it set up, and I left it alone, but I didn't. But it is really cool. It is a very cool little device, so I'm pretty pleased with it.
That thing is set up at your house. Can you use like a mobile rig to connect to it, right? Is that what I'm getting from it?
No, it is simply just a handheld IP communication device. There's no amateur radio in it. It is literally just a Wi-Fi device. So it's totally IP. There's no anything like that. I took it mobile with me the other day and tethered it to my phone, and it worked great. So literally could go anywhere with it. Don't have to, no need for a radio at all. So it's a total cheater box if you think about it. But for me, having the Fusion mode here and not being able to get to the digital side of our own repeater here, having it be all IP is perfect for what I need it for.
See, and that's kind of the way I figured they were. So, being that it's not really a ham radio, although you're linking to ham radio via telecom, to me it is a cheater box, and it would leave you hanging if telecom crashed. So, would it be interesting to play with? I'm sure of it. But, man, I really like having a set of stacked beams, which I don't have up right now, but I've had a 13B2, or 13 element, yeah, whatever that is, a Cushcraft. That's what I was hitting you guys with that repeater way up there from my place in Columbiaville. Now, I could have cross-banded through that to do that, but, you know, if I want to run any other repeater, I couldn't do that.
Right, yeah, and I used to have a big 13-element beam up 65-foot with a 200-watt amplifier on it and everything, and I just, it might have been a 300-watt. And I used to talk down into, you know, I think I talked down into, I know I got to Florida and Texas with it on sideband, 2-meter sideband, a couple of times just when there was big openings. But I'm not putting anything like that up ever again. So that was a ton of work, and I was a much younger man with a much more capable set of faculties that helped me to be able to do that. So and yeah, you know, I know we prep for everything to, you know, the whole hit the fan scenario, but in my lifetime, telecoms have only went down majorly like twice. And the fact that I got fiber at the house here now, which is 99% of where I'm going to use this, there, you know, very likely in my lifetime, I don't think I'll see a major outage. But I have backup equipment if I need to communicate if it does. So if this was my only way to go, then I'd be worried about it. But if I shut the node down, I still got a 30-foot tower with a big old commercial antenna on top of it that I can get to where I need to.
I tell you, I'd eat a pile of rocks for a telescoping tilt-based tower to be able to, you know, bring it down and work them antennas whenever I wanted to at ground level and not have to do any climbing at all or just it takes a lot of cement, and it takes it's not cheap. Those towers, them telescoping towers aren't cheap, and then to build a tilt over base, I've done it before, made a giant hinge, to buy them's even worse, but I built them in my shop to be able to tilt something like that. But then you need a mountain of cement with a bunch of framework inside of it. I can't imagine what cement costs to make a base good and solid anymore. KB8 always. Thank you. if that was you, Adam, but you crashed and burned. TV8OOE.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
KEEAWU.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
NAWRO. Good afternoon, John.
Top of the morning to you, sir. What's new and exciting?
Hey, not a whole heck of a lot. I know there was something I was going to ask you. I was going to send you the audio from your last net, but I didn't want to, you know, do it as hard as you. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I had it, and I wanted to double check, but that was that the newer guy, VOX, that was a really light signal, and yeah, I confirmed it. It was.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I would I would always be interested in that. That's like kind of the perfect thing to listen to at work, you know, especially on Monday, you know, while I'm going through and quoting stuff, I can kind of give that a listen and see what I think and see if I have any room to improve. But for the most part, yeah, that would be cool. I got a new switch at home and a rack mount battery backup. So I got the All-Star node back up and running and got it connected to the switch. And so I think it's working a little bit better now, so hopefully I can find some, you know, I can depend on this, hopefully, to run some nets. So I wanted to give it a little test to see how it's doing. But unfortunately, I forgot the password for the darn Raspberry Pi, so I have to figure out what that was. I have a password here written down, but it's not working, so I'm going to have to probably reprogram the darn thing, but that's okay. But yeah, it was acting weird. It would get an IP address and it would be online. All-Star would see it, and then I'd try to get onto a node, and it kept saying connection failed, no matter what I did. And so I was really kind of scratching my head trying to figure out why that would be. But nevertheless, I plugged it in, unplugged it, plugged it back in like the fourth time, and now it's working. So I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, John, because that was the other thing. I did take your list that you put in Discord of your projects, and I kind of put out a little bit more, and I think I added that, you know, the your ongoing big project with the All-Star node, you know, for Sean and Wally and us, for the group as a whole, because I don't think that was on there, but that's definitely a project. And I just wanted to say, I don't know what number you got, which, but I numbered them, and I put 13. FCC query to locate new hams for me, I crossed it off. That works perfect. You really don't need to go any further on that. So, I mean, obviously it's your choice if you want, but that works like a charm. So Let me send this document to you, and if you want to fix it up just for me, you know, again, when time permits, I don't want to add another thing to the list. I just want to see if I got that right, because I put the ongoing project, create a local all-star node in order to become familiar with SAME, then eventually create an appropriate macros for disconnecting and reconnecting both 7.2 and FBI. Hopefully I got that right. I mean, we can fix it up. I just wanted to keep track of what you got going on and expand it on, you know, what you already put there, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do know that one's crossed off the list, and what I did is I kind of took that list and I transferred it into Teams, and so I have a bunch of tasks assigned to me in Teams, and the FCC database was not added to that list because, as you noticed, it's basically done. So that was kind of one of the bigger hurdles to knock out and get behind us is having all of us have an FCC database, you know, cache, and it's supposed to update itself every 7 days. And I just opened up Excel, and it must have been 7 days because it is downloading and inserting all the stuff into a new database. So it seems all the algorithms and whatchamacallits are working. And I did adjust the scripts so that they don't tie up Excel when it builds the FCC database, and it does it all in the background, and so that's kind of cool. And so yeah, that's really awesome. I'll run this here in just a second as soon as it's done building it. I got a 500,000 in there right now, but once it gets to the 1.6 or whatever it'll end up being this time, I'll let you know if there's any new stuff, but you'll find out eventually anyway, you know, because yours will just automatically update. But yeah, the nice thing is you won't notice, which is good, but maybe it's bad because I should have some kind of status of when. Let me look at something real quick, because you're gonna want to know when the last time your thing updated, and it won't tell you that right now.
Yeah, copy that. Of course, I'll just know, because it's going to be right in front of me, who I already sent the cards to, if it repeats. But then, you know, you got the, okay, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you do it, how, if it's every week, or, I'm sorry, you probably already said it, but whatever day of the week it is, or whatever day of the month it is, however we want to do it, there really is not too many. Now, there might be a few because FCC was down, so I think they're catching up. So, and I didn't think about that. You're right. We're online now, so we don't need to worry about emailing documents back and forth. So I'll look online to see what you got going. I assume I could see it. I'm right here right now. Let me play around here.
Yeah, your FCC database is supposed to update every 7 days, so... Once it's been a week since you were last in there, it should just pull the, you know, a new database and build it, and then it'll clean up it'll delete the old one, but it won't delete the old one until it fully builds the new one. But that's kind of cool. And then yeah, so are you on Teams now? You got that set up?
All right, I guess I'm on the Outlook page, but it's got all the icons on the left and right, and I can go, which icon is Teams? Is it, I've got people, is people Teams? No. All right, I'll unkey and let you talk.
No, I think if you're in Outlook and you're seeing people, that would be like your contacts, you know, above that would be your calendar. Below that might be tasks, little, but I don't think they're the same. Let's see, under more apps, I don't see Teams in there. Yeah, you might have to navigate to, you know, the internet and download Teams, and then sign in as under your account. But if it asks you if you want to sign in to the rest of your apps with that account, you're going to want to say no, and you're only going to want to download Teams. You won't want to download, like, everything else, at least for now. So looks like my FCC database loaded. It doesn't look like there's anything new in it yet, so I think it's the same amount. But I'm gonna run the new hams just to see if it's still 5.
Okay, copy that, John. Will do. And on a related note, Mike got a hold of me on Discord, and he had 4 new hams that he gave postcards to. In other words, they'll be, so I have to get them on my list. I have them on my list. So when they show up eventually, they show up on that database, I won't double do it. But that's good. And then the fact that we do occasionally show upgrades, you know, like this. There's one that went from tech to general. That's okay. I like that because that means they're an active ham. And if I check the historic postcard list and I haven't sent them one yet and they're not on our old roster of legacy people, then I go ahead and send them a card because I know they're active.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a good point. Right now, the way I have the FCC database, you know, set up for new hams is it is supposed to be truly new hams, and I know what you're saying is different. Because, you know, you're talking about who Mike, you know, upgraded from tech to general. But right now, what I wrote for new hams will only give you technicians. However, it could give you, you know, upgrades or like a person getting a new call sign, but they're still a tech. It sometimes will show those. And then another instance would be a license renewal, because it's really looking at grant date. So when that person, which is weird because I wouldn't think like a I could see a license renewal refreshing the grant date, but a call sign update I don't feel like would really, you know, adjust the grant date. Not sure how that works, but, I guess that's the FCC, and what they decide is what they're going to do. But that leads me to I can get general license, too, if you want down the road. So you can see like the most recent general upgrades, and I can get extras too. So I can add buttons to this to handle the different classes if you're interested, but you'll have to let me know because right now I just kind of focused on technicians.
N-A-W-R-O. No, I actually misspoke there, John. I don't need the upgrades. I just got that one from Mike because he was there and gave happened to give her an upgrade. So, yeah, sure, you know, I'll go ahead and – well, he gave her a card, and she was interested, so that's fine. What I meant to say was what you talked about just renewals. And besides, step one, we were asking for new. That's the primary. We want the new. That's what you did. That's what we're getting, and that's what we want. But if a renewal – well, works its way in there, that's not necessarily a bad thing because, that's where it's like, well, it illustrates they're an active ham and they want to continue. They're not an inactive ham. So that's not the primary. We're not really looking for that. We are concentrating on the new ones like we're doing. So I think with this, it's going to be an ongoing thing. I can keep on sending. It'll be, it's like a steady pace of sending out these cards. And then you can kind of do an average. I mean, I highlight them. You know, so at roughly just glancing at my sheet here, maybe-ish out of every 10 cards we get a member, or let's do 12 or 13 cards, we get a member. That's judging by past performance and does not guarantee future performance like in the stock market.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, it is kind of cool to have that metric, you know. You can kind of see. And then that was one of the things we were looking at is, like, we would like to have a list of hams we sent postcards to for various reasons. Number one, so that if they check into a net, then we know, you know, hey buddy, how's it going? You know, welcome to the hobby. Hope you're loving it, and we'd love to have you. But then also, you know, we can kind of see the success of the postcards project. And it's, to me, it's just like quotes, you know, what's the turnover rate, you know, how what are the wins and losses, you know, how many people did we send postcards to, and how many, joined and how many didn't, you know. And then in the long run, we can kind of look at, those metrics and kind of go from there. But from what I can see from my my chair here, I think it's a very successful project, so I'm pretty happy with it.
Yes, same as I don't want to hang my hat on it too much, because I think we should move on and do others as well. Keep this moving forward. But when we first started it, I termed it to try to figure out a return on investment. And because when I first started, I thought, this might not work at all. You know, we might spend $100 in postage and not get anybody. Well, that's not the case. We do have a return on investment that's worth continuing. So I'm happy about that. So, yep, sounds good. I just want to let you know my email is working, not a problem, and I will check on the other to see. I just got to kind of, like, configure it. I guess Dave's got his photo in there already, right?
K-E-A-W-U-O, but you'll definitely want to try to get teams on there, because that'll be, you know, I think Dave wants to start to transition over to teams for not just tasks, but also for meetings, you know, instead of meeting on Discord, he wants to use teams, so I think that would be cool. I'm impartial to either as far as meetings go, but I think we were having some, you know, connectivity issues that hopefully Teams handles better than Discord did, but I'm not convinced it will be a huge difference, but I think it would be worth trying. So far I'm pretty happy with my switch and the battery backup. That thing seems to be working just fine, and I'm on the internet. My old switch I was using it's like 20 years old. I think it was like a 100 megabytes per second type of switch. So that might have been some of the issues with the, you know, stuff I was seeing, especially related to the node. But it was doing pretty good. You know, I was able to surf the web, and I wasn't really able to notice. But this has got a 1 gig connection for each line. And actually, it's got a couple that could be 2.5 gigs, too, so it's pretty sweet. Plus, it has a fiber in, which I'll probably get connected soon. But I don't know. I'm geeked.
NAWRO. Oh, yeah. We like our upgrades. We like it when things work right. That is awesome. And copy on Teams. I will focus on that next. And question for you, obviously, with what we got with 365 now, we weren't even really using this, but the Dropbox account that Dave and I started, he started one, I started another. Initially, we had some documents. Actually, we do have documents in there, so those will have to gravitate over, if that's a word. And then what do you think about the ClickUp app? Is the ClickUp app now not necessary?
Yeah, I think the ClickUp app has fallen to the wayside. I think Teams basically replaces ClickUp. So I accidentally unkeyed. But I think we're done with ClickUp. I think we're going to transition over to Teams and the Microsoft 365. I kind of like that because right now if we focus on Microsoft 365 and our SharePoints and all that, we're really only sharing our data with one tenant. But if we use, another calendar app outside of, the Outlook calendar, and we use, ClickUp for our tasks, then, kind of our information is spread out all over the place. Usernames and passwords are kind of spread out all over the place. And I don't know, how secure all that is. And I've been kind of going through and adding, hardening the Outlook accounts. When you get an email from someone on the outside, you'll get a little banner at the bottom that, cautions you this came from the outside. Be careful, when you click on any links. And I'm going to continue to kind of try to harden everything because, all of our information is going to be, hosted here, and the more secure, the better. And each one of us is like a liability to it, and so if we're signing in all over the place, it's not as clean as kind of having one source. Although, I guess when all your eggs are in one basket, then you have that problem too. But I think 365 is pretty secure. I'll probably enable two-factor authentication for all members, but I kind of want to get everybody onboarded before I start nagging everybody with that kind of stuff.
Hey, copy that. Sounds very familiar to back when my work days. That's what IT did. You just got no choice. You got to do it. And wholeheartedly agree with Teams. Quite frankly, that ClickUp app and me just never jives. I couldn't get it. But Teams, I think I'll go full all in on Teams because, that's going to be it. I mean, we've tried a few things. And, of course, you even advised against it quite some time ago. We don't need Dropbox anymore because whatever is over there, we will. I'll take care of that. We'll get stuff migrated over, and then you can just delete it, close the account.
Yeah, we kind of need to do that with all our stuff on Google, too. There is ways to migrate stuff from, the Google account straight over into 365, as well as there's some, integration with Dropbox. So we might be able to pull it in relatively easily, but it might just be easier for you to just kind of download everything from one or Dropbox and then save it to the appropriate SharePoint and then wipe out the Dropbox, and we'll just kind of do it that way. But if you need any help with that, I think there is some easy ways to pull that data in, but we would need usernames and passwords to get into the Dropbox, and I don't know that I need it, and I think you could probably handle it just fine. Once you get on Teams, give me a shout because you can kind of get to the SharePoints kind of easily from Teams. And right now I think you're only connected to the NetControl SharePoint, and I want to get you connected to the Personnel SharePoint so that you can put those documents into there. And so I think that would be a good way, a good place for those documents. I do want to kind of segregate the stuff so that, personnel-related stuff is in the personnel-related folder, and then we harden that and make sure it's not available to people outside the organization. I've already kind of locked down all the SharePoints, so right now none of the SharePoints allow outside access. You can only get to it with one of our usernames and passwords, but that'll probably change, especially with NetControl. Because there's going to be some documents in there that we want the general public to see, actually related to the repeater crawl.
Yeah, copy all that, and I was going to get with you on that. I could have sworn I already saw the SharePoint already, so let me play around with it so I'm a little bit more comfortable, and we'll get there. But before I do put any of the sensitive stuff in there, well, you and I are going to have to get together anyways, but I would want to make sure I'm not putting it, I'm happy that it's not going to be on the outside, but I got to make sure what level of, personnel is going to have access to it. I forget where we're at. Well, that'll be tomorrow night at the meeting. We'll we'll figure that out for sure.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, I believe I have most of the permissions set for the personnel folder, well, for all the folders. You kind of do it by member. So I believe, and I'll double check everything and confirm everything, and I'll probably set up myself, a dummy account just temporarily to get in there and with the same permissions and whatnot as, you know, other people, and try to get into the accounts that that it shouldn't be able to get in, and just confirm, you know, that that's that what I think is working is actually working. And so, yeah, that would be good. That is very, you know, that's critical, is making sure that we protect all of our pertinent information.
Correct. And then one quick question for you. I'll clear it with Dave first, but I know it's not long for this world, but the Google FDS 98 form, I don't know which one we're up to. Of course, we're going to make the transition. But I'd like to put in a dummy member in there. From your point of view, that's not a real big issue, right, if I just put a Joe Sample in there?
Yeah, I did it. I did it myself one time. I think I put a Homer Simpson, you know, and then Springfield, you know, and kind of just put it in there mainly to, because, you know, the way that's supposed to work is the FDS 98 is supposed to create the public derivative of the FDS 98 that we share with all members. So the idea being, you know, I was mainly just wanted to test that once I click the update, you know, button, that Homer Simpson made it over to our normal roster, our public roster, and sure enough, Homer joined us on our group. So it was kind of silly, but yeah, you know, I don't know. That's what I do sometimes. But yeah, whatever you gotta do to test it and go through the motions, by all means. That is actually going to be your document, so you do whatever you want in there, and guide you towards like keeping, you know, not having multiple values in one cell type of thing, which you've done a pretty good job with that. Your latest one has level 2, level 1 in the same space as, like, you have it in two places, and I'm sure you'll clean that up eventually, but I would probably nudge you away from that if possible. But for the most part, just because when I want to pull someone's position, I don't want to see level 2, you know. So, but actually, you know, it'll probably be coming from the FDS 98 anyway, so you can kind of do whatever you want with that one. Got to get it all together, see what it looks like. Got to get the website up, too.
Yeah, I copy that, and you and I will be in discussion on that. There's a little problem with that form, because for the admins or for the leadership, that's correct. We can just remove all level because it's duplicate. And but when you get down to the membership, it's like, well, what is there for standard membership? Because I've got a couple of things there. I've got their, you know, what we're going to call it. You can't call it a hire date, but the date they were accepted and placed on the roster. So there's that. But then there's some that are legacy members. I don't have that date. Don't know that date. I guess we could query it. But anyways, we'll work on that. And then, you know, the fact that they're pre-level. But pre-level could just be the absence of a level in the level column. Yeah, we'll work on this off the air, John. But I know where you're going with it. We can do it.
Gotcha. For the pre-levels, you could just put 0, you know, or N/A for not applicable. And then for the people that you don't have a date, we could just put in, like, a standard date of, like, 1/1/2025, and then that'll get updated, you know, for the legacy members anyway. That'll get updated as we either look forward or, you know, like I don't think having, you know, Bob George's, you know, join date, it's gonna, you know, I'm not so sure that like that we need it to have the exact day that he joined, as long as we have a date that we can reference. But more than likely we won't need it, you know. So KEAWUO, over to you.
KEAWOR, did I do that right? November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. I agree with you 100% on that. It's not necessarily needed even on the visible roster, but it'll always be a date and time stamp when they do it. And the more I think about it, the more it's like, why don't I have them? They're there on the FDS 98. But again, you don't necessarily need them, and some of the members will probably be called out of the front side and put on the back anyway. So I'll have to get with Dave sometime after tomorrow's meeting. So, all right, sounds good. Appreciate all the information, John. I'm sure we'll talk. I'll see you tomorrow, and we'll talk soon. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, after you, sir.
All right, sounds good. I will try to get some headway on everything tonight. And I was kind of chuckling when I heard we were going to do Hungry Howie's, because I know you and I talked about Hungry Howie's and how awesome it is. So, but how, you know, we try not to eat it. So it's kind of funny. But I look forward to it, and we'll see you tomorrow. I'll let you get to it. I'll be monitoring Mount Clemens all night, and try to get some work done. I gotta get some PowerPoints together tonight too. So if anybody needs me, I'll be here. KEAWUO.
Awesome. Thanks, John, again, and I'll be listening as well. November 8, Whiskey Romeo Oscar, clear QSO.
W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.
This is KJBD taking pre-net check-ins for the Michigan PSC net. Please call now. Okay, got you locked in. KB8SWR, next station, please.
If at all possible. I'm good at QRZ.
I'd just like to have that for a resource. KC8EHR.
Okay, if you're good, then QRZ, I will pop you an email and give you the frequencies that we operate on. You're also coming in, we also come in on the VHF and UHF weight repeaters, courtesy of the Central Michigan Emergency Network. So that's there also. This is AJVD. Okay, it's a little after 5 o'clock, so we'll get things started here. This is KHABD. I'll be the net control station for the Michigan Amateur Radio Public Service Corps net. This net meets every Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on or near a frequency of 3932 kHz. Our alternate frequencies are 5346.5 kHz and 7232 kHz. These are the designated Michigan emergency frequencies. This net is also available via VHF and UHF link repeaters, courtesy of the Central Michigan Emergency Network. If you receive the net on VHF and UHF, you're also invited to check in and participate. This net is also available on Echo Link, but will be receive only. The purpose of this net is to provide a weekly statewide exchange of information and ideas concerning OSCOM and Michigan, including ARIES, NCS, and Skywarn. All radio amateurs with a sincere interest in supporting public safety are invited and encouraged to take part in this net. This is an ARRL section level net. Regular participants include your section officials, NCS officials, assistants, and representatives from these groups. This is K8ABD. My name is Jim, and I hold the position of ECRO, Washtenaw County, Michigan. From the pre-net group, I have the following stations listed. I have NAWU, NAWRO, NXUXN, N9UXN, excuse me, WB8, AXB, KC8EHR, K8ED, and KD8SWR. These stations need not check in again, but other stations. CNET, please call now. Kilo 8 says Juliet Bravo Delta, net control. Okay, I got a real light station. I heard a kilo and something 8. Could you repeat, sir?
Kilo Echo 2, Yankee Golf. Kilo Echo 2, Yankee Golf. No traffic.
Okay, I have a kilo Echo 2, Yankee Golf. Is that correct?
That is correct. Kilo Echo 2, Yankee Golf. You have it right.
Okay, got you in there. It was a little light. Any other stations wishing to check in, please call them out. This is KHABD. Nothing heard. Let's sort of move on through the list here, and I'll take a standby at some point and see if we can check in anybody else. My name is Jim. I'm KHABD, ECRO for Washtenaw County. First off, KHGON Max, our fearless leader, is not able to make it today, so I have his update. So his update is: final planning meeting for Eye of the Storm, a statewide functional exercise, February 3rd, is Wednesday morning. The Interoperability Board meets in the afternoon, and the FEMA Region 5 OSCOM Subcommittee meeting is in the evening. Thursday afternoon, the OSCOM Work Group meets, followed by a planning meeting for FEMA R5 RecWay. As Max wants everyone to stay warm, safe, and healthy, so that is Max's KHGON update. might as well proceed with mine. We're still working on getting our Groups I.O. completely up, ran in all the last stragglers into the system, so that's proceeding along nicely. Other than that, things on the radio front are, basically moving along at a very slow, burbling pace that usually happens in the winter. And also, this is one of the occasions during the year when I think about the all those folks that are currently serving the nation and those that have served, both living and dead. And I certainly do appreciate their service and their sacrifice and service to the country. So with that, I will hand it over to you, your comments, sir.
Input today. I'm getting ready to eat dinner. I just actually sat down with them in front of me, but I appreciate everybody that wears neck controls and all that that they do out here. There's very little that I can do, so that's what I do. I try to link this in each week. And thanks again for being neck control. Everybody, please drive safe and stay warm, and I'll be monitoring here if I'm needed. NEW.
Thanks for setting up the link. We appreciate that. Let's move now to November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. Your comments, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jim. This is Tim, NAWRO, one of the AECs from Macomb, another D2 county. First on the list, we're creating a new MICON liaison procedure document. During the wintertime, we got a little extra time. And lastly, tomorrow night we have our organizational meeting for our 501c3. We're going to have the bylaw vote, and hopefully we'll be official by tomorrow night. That's all for Macomb County. As always, thanks to control operator Mike, N8OBU, Jeff, KE8SWR, and all at Central Michigan for making the link available. We're on our local UHF or VHF repeater in Mount Clemens. This is NAWRO. Back to you, Jim.
Hi, NAWRO. Thanks for your comments there. Yeah, becoming a 501c3, we certainly try to take advantage of that here. And it sounds like you guys are really staying busy, actually, during the winter there, which I think is good to hear. Anyway, thanks very much for joining the net. Let's move next to November 9, Uniform X-Ray November. Your comments, sir.
Last week we worked on had the official confirmation for that. That should be, of course, the last meeting of the year. And just looking around at some antenna tuner building projects that I have and some other ham radio things that need to be done now that I'm inside and away from outside projects. So good to hear everybody. I heard the 2 station and the 9 station. So 40 meters is working close in tonight and, you know, working out into the other Midwest and towards New England. So that's really good. So,
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
KACKJO.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.